Well, thanks a lot, Matthew, for having the chance to talk about the International Wheat Yield Partnership. It is very timely to be doing so. It's a new initiative, it's a new funding initiative, but it's a lot more than that, as you will see. I'm doing a little job in it, and halfway through the talk I'm going to hand over to the newly appointed program director, Jeff Gwynn. Well, its goal, as perceived by a number of deliberations, is similar to what Murray was advertising, really tackling a major increase in wheat yields up to 50% in 20 years, and those numbers come in part from the global needs and in part by belief in the huge amount of science that is going on and is expected to go on in terms of discovery in that time. And so the attributes that are to be woven into IWIP, as it's known, is to really try and attract the best relevant science base, but much more than that, to move it in relation to elite germplasm and to stimulate the ongoing breeding selection into relevant breeding programs. Now, to do some of those points, you've got to have a management strand, and the funders of all of this chose to set up an independent management team. Of course, as all of us would also want, in the end, there's got to be a focus on delivery beyond discovery and with a high sense of urgency. So who's behind this this partnership? Well, there are many, and the number is much greater now than on this slide, which was produced in April. But the people at the top are the main ringleaders, which means that they formed the basic committee, they started pulling together the ideas and firming it up with money on the table. It's not so simple as saying the exact amount of money, but I think they're saying there's around 50 million on the table for 5 years now, and they're hoping to double that, driven of course by the opportunity and the need. So people like people in the UK, USAID, the Canadians, the Australians, Mexicans, and the Syngenta Foundation are the ringleaders, but there is a much greater number of partners getting attached to it. And you see CIMMYT's emblem up there, because CIMMYT was a fountain for some of the early discussions about this, and nobody needs to be reminded of what CIMMYT can do and what it stands for in the wheat business. And so they're a significant player in this partnership. And the words partnership were chosen deliberately. It's a partnership of many funders, but it'll be a partnership of many players too. Well, just a little bit of history. Well, the funders put together a technical committee. Jorge was one of those who contributed to that. And the idea was to focus on the genetic yield potential, thinking that there's many other ways of getting higher yields in farmers' fields, but there are many other activities around the world addressing those. So let's target yield potential. Six themes came out of this, and as I've noted on the bottom, and those of you who follow Matthew's interests and literature and understanding of wheat yields wouldn't be surprised that there was a lot of similarity between the outputs and other things established in Mexico. Just a rather trivial and a brief few words from me that I mean, has been covered in different ways this afternoon. If you can accept the point that one's really got to optimize flowering time for each of the environments, then the challenge is how do we get as much carbon fixed, as much rapid canopy establishment and coverage with the right architecture in the time available from when the seed goes in the ground to when flowering happens. And of course there are many ways of doing that scientifically, some of that's been discussed today, but clearly that in a broad sense is a major objective. And then one's got to hope that there can be continued relevant fixation beyond flowering, but then one's got to make sure that as much of that fixed carbon gets turned into the grains as possible. So the talks on harvest index and everything associated with those have got to be in place too. So clearly it's a very multi-functional area of science, but if you're in the breeding business, just knowing the traits is one thing, but integrating them all into elite germplasm is clearly another. So of these six project areas, if you jump down to D, then this program hopes that there will be the opportunity to build all the traits, the validated traits, where something is known about the genetic basis of them, into the elite breeding programs, and CIMIT, for example, can move those lines into many other breeding programs around the developing world. Why would we think that wheat is going to be the primary discovery for many of these sorts of things? Of course, rice science is moving ahead at a hell of a pace, and barley and corn and others. So we all need to keep our eye on what's going on elsewhere. And indeed, maybe this initiative would fund things going on beyond wheat because the eventual relevance would be obvious. I've already mentioned, and you know better than I do, that there's all sorts of really novel and vigorous activities going on around the world. Again, Murray was talking about screening new germplasm for photosynthesis. I think it was mentioned that that Matthew's program has got genetic variants with higher biomass and so on. So many things have been talked about are on this slide, and the bottom half just refers to, again, numerous elements in photosynthesis that where there's some good grounds for believing that there's progress there in the next 5, 10, 15 years. So plenty of scientific opportunities, and so when the call for grant proposals comes out very shortly, we expect a lot of people with really smart ideas to be bidding in. The funders from the beginning wanted to see the private sector involved for all the usual reasons, not least of which there's, as you know, a revival in wheat breeding going on in the private sector. They both want to learn a lot, and they have a lot to contribute. They have a lot to contribute perhaps in the discovery arena, but they certainly have things to contribute further downstream in terms of building things into elite varieties and progressing towards markets of ones that are particularly interest to them. So we expect many contributions from them. Good advice. They may well be offering technology services, things that they can do high throughput efficiently and so on, if we can show them that there are exciting results to come from it. Of course, they can get early insights into progress and hopefully make great contributions to pushing up that global yield potential in genetics. So there's a few comments about the background, but of course we've got to make it all happen. If this meeting wasn't taking on November the 3rd, I'd be giving the rest of the talk. But Jeff has just joined, so he's now going to make it happen, but it is his first day.
How do you advance with the down key?
Yeah, this one's the same.
Okay.
So as Dick says, this is my first day as program director. I've been in discussions and talking about this for quite some time, and it's pretty exciting. I've been in the private sector for 2.5 decades. I've been a plant breeder and geneticist for 6 crops. Seen the development of hybrids, of pure lines, using markers, developing transgenes, biomass crops, grain crops, commodity crops. So this is pretty exciting to me, and I think what I'd like to do is use my experience with multinational companies and different crops and different science and jump into the wheat field, but in particular my experience in project management and being in the private sector to help drive this thing to be something different. I think one of the things the funders and the folks that I talked about is we want to really mold this thing into being something different so that all these pieces become cohesive and have a common goal that all contribute to in the end. One of the things is I will support this research by a variety of ways. And so we're looking at IWIP as a big program with a lot of components. One of the most important components, of course, is funding exciting science. So we'll put out competitive funding calls to attract the best science that goes on around the world that's relevant to wheat. Very important and key to the success is a breeding and research hub supported by the technical platforms based at CIMMYT. I mean, you need the best in your camp, and CIMMYT will be a major player in this IWIP endeavor. Also, we'll seek to align the existing programs and things, other programs around the world that are just starting or have been doing projects that are directly in the scope of what IWIP is trying to accomplish, to seek to bring them into the fold with different mechanisms and to bring, kind of increase the bandwidth and bring everything in that's relevant. We've got a lot of different mechanisms to allow funding partners to contribute resources. Some people, and especially private industry, may be more willing to contribute a technical services, Dick mentioned, or trialing in some areas where people may not be, but we need the information. So there's a lot of different ways that we can gather information and put partners into the scheme. And of course, as Dick mentioned, sharing with the private sector is very important. I mean, these things, except for CIMMYT and a few others, but these things, the fruits of this research and the increases in yield have to be realized by the public. They have to be grown on farms, and they have to have a tangible result. Some of the things at the bottom I've already mentioned, the partnership with the private sector will take on many facets. Working with other international programs, of course, is key. And one of the other more challenging things we're going to do is to be managing the IP and licensing and making sure that the fruits of the funding are distributed, they get in the right hands of the right people, and it doesn't become a major value holding proposition. Now, the overall approach that I've been charged to take is a little bit different. It's a little bit different than for a funding mechanism where, hey, we've got this bowl of money, we're going to make calls for good research, we're going to give the money, you do the reports, you publish the paper, and then move on to something else. We're trying to put this together in a holistic fashion, and we want the different projects to be cohesive and integrated and all be building blocks to this common goal of increasing wheat yield significantly. So we're not seeking an answer to singular questions, but rather to make high-impact discoveries that can be integrated into a holistic program that has a defined input. So in the early days, there may be some very simple things like doing research around Rubisco or a different photosynthetic pathways or even morphological traits for biomass. But the vision of that work has to be when so many years down the line, this trait, this discovery, this will plug in this way and make something that's tangible that's going out to increase wheat yields in many different places in the world. We want to target discoveries and outputs that are leading. So we're looking for the best science, the good science, the exciting, and often risky. Because it's a great idea that's never been tried, but makes good sense. It could make a step change difference in many things. We want to look at these discoveries that are linked. Again, they're not going to be a bunch of one-off things that hope maybe filter somewhere, some way down to different places and rear their head somewhere else, but things that are going to all come together in the end. And things that are durable and portable, not targeting things for sub-Saharan Africa or Central Europe or the Midwestern U.S. or whatever, but these things really have a broad application. And looking for these projects to be framed around urgency and success. Again, it's not a funding opportunity where we go answer a question and a negative answer is okay because we've answered the question. We really want someone to be really excited and pushed to accomplish and have fruits of this great idea that has come about. In making this thing more holistic and making these pieces fit together, I would like to use some project management tactics to manage this, and that's for all the people involved. And so if you can think of it as a bunch of researchers are now doing projects, they're going to become part of a team, and each team member knows and is plugged into what other people are doing, and each person gets an understanding of how their research is going to plug in and make something down to come out and at the target at the end. In doing this, you have to play with timelines, milestones, and deliverables. They have to be metrically driven. You say, I'm going to do this at this date, and it's going to be this much, and I'm going to pass the seed off over here. Well, these things are going to be very important if the linkages are going to be made and the timelines are going to be kept, especially if, for example, a program at CIMMYT is waiting on the results of a trait that was developed and introgressed from another place to come in to go into a testing system. And at the end, the program is to result in high-yielding germplasm that gets in the hands of farmers. And it has to get in the hands of many people first, but that's the end goal. At the end, we want to define the genetic basis of each trait using phenotype and molecular markers. And in doing that, not only using molecular markers as an example of more contemporary technology, but a lot of things we talked about today, the remote sensing and the use of UAVs and things like that, when I left one of the major multinationals, we were just sticking our toe in that 6-7 years ago, and I know it's come a long way, but, you know, being able to really do high throughput, highly accurate phenotyping to find some of these, you know, the one red one sticking in the middle of that 2 hectares is, you know, that's the guy we're looking for, and it's going to take technology to do that and do it quickly and accurately. And when we find things, we got to put it in elite germplasm, stack the traits, and overall, a lot of what you just saw Dick the thinking into the types of projects are, it's building a super engine, it's around photosynthesis, it's around making a more efficient, higher performing plant that then can transfer that energy and that performance into the commodity of which we're seeking to create. And at the end, I'm a plant breeder. I got to see it in the field. I was happy to see one of these guys talk about, well, we do it in the field. We're not doing it in the greenhouse. It's got to get out there and get tested, and it's got to get tested in a wide number of environments. It's got to be tried and true. You got to make sure it's portable and make sure it has a good durability. There's pre-breeding and selection and then release to the programs. So all of the basic research, some of the things that some of you guys were talking about today are going to lead into a discovery that goes into germplasm. And so the germplasm, the physical, tangible thing we hold in our hand, is what we're seeking. But it takes a whole lot of these types of things you're talking about, especially when you're talking about pumping up photosynthesis, to get there. So this is just a pictorial to really illustrate what we're trying to do. And these are the 6 target areas that Dick had mentioned, and they were derived by a lot of people over in several projects for different reasons, and were identified as the major building blocks of really creating a high genetic yield potential for wheat. And of course, these are, as I was trying to explain about building a holistic program where things are integrated and interdependent, you know, it does. It forms pieces of a puzzle that are all going to go together and at the end have that tangible seed in the end. It's going to make a high-yielding varieties. But there's fringes, and there's going to be other science that comes from other projects that aren't within the IWIP, that come from other crops you know, there's a lot of technologies and discoveries that are going to plug in very nicely around these edges and even plug in through the middle of these things to make this happen. So what are the outcomes? What are the IWIP partners trying to do? Of course, you know, increasing the genetic yield potential by 50% in 20 years is the hard target. Stronger and elevated state-of-the-art wheat breeding programs. You see things are getting complicated. I'm a breeder. I go out, I look at things. I use the harvester. But as we know, things are getting more complicated. There's marker technologies. There's high-throughput screenings now, remote sensing, and so on and so forth. And so, you know, we help cope with these projects. It'll help evolve some of these breeding programs in wheat to employ more of these new technologies. And the new technologies leading to breeding systems and assays for not only identifying but stacking traits, because it's going to take many different types of traits. And getting lines out to national programs and spreading this material around the world. And generate a lot of scientific knowledge of genetic variation for traits for carbon capture and biomass and grain yields and how these things are related, what you're talking about here today, and that information be a seed to bring on even more research in these areas and really spread. The IWIP programs, we hope that we're giving money, additional monies to generate research that could get help generate more trained scientists and breeders out in the world. Just more bandwidth in the wheat breeding and wheat research community, and a stronger industrial sector for delivering higher yielding varieties. And Dick did, of course, mention now the rebirth of wheat breeding in the large multinational seed companies. That's what we've got.
Any questions for Jen? Otherwise, I should probably, as chair, just mention extremely briefly what one thing I got out of each of those talks, and then maybe we can throw it out to for discussion if you like. It was good that Arnold is telling us that rising CO2 may not be the panacea of climate change that some people like to suggest that it is. And Vincent, yes, we should pay more attention to genetic variation in VPD. It's just one thing, it's not everything. Okay, there's not time, right? Barra, it's very interesting, and of course Vincent also was with different crops. Same conclusion, Barra, even more crops. The sensitive stages are really nicely aligned across those crops, which is a very useful focus for us when we start moving ahead to work and understand those better. Gustavo, breeding efficiency, obviously a handle to better understand the variation in harvest index. That's always been a particular interest to me, this idea that, you know, perhaps that fruiting efficiency is actually a function of sensitivity to environment, but clearly, you know, like part of a mechanism for determining progeny load. And obviously, good to see that there's genetic variation there. Maria's talk, this idea that we can increase precision and throughput in the field, narrowing that excuse that has been used for many years that we can't possibly work in the field because it's not controlled enough. The field's still not controlled, but it's more and more feasible to get precision data and the high throughput. And then Murray, many different ideas for improving biomass, Rubisco, the idea of being able to find pigments that have so far not been captured by nature to get more than 50% of the radiation, access more than 50% of the solar radiation. Great ideas. Scott, combining remote sensing and modeling to refine screens and increase increase the, well, by identifying, for example, those plots where genetic variation, the resolution with which you can see genetic variation changed with time. That's so important because it really, we go out blindly so often. We want to screen things in the field. We don't really know when, but with those kinds of approaches, we can say, okay, today's the day between 10 and 2. And to some extent, Maria's study was also showing that in terms of growth stages. And then finally, the new platform that I whip, of course, I'm very excited about that. You know, this has been a labor of love, that's for sure. And I'm looking forward to, many of us are looking forward to working with you, Jeff. So, anybody got any more questions? Actually, I should mention one thing before we all rush off to the posters. The Crop Science Society are encouraging review papers. You know, Crop Science was for years a journal with a relatively low citation factor. You know, surprisingly in many ways, but probably the main reason is because it didn't publish review articles, and review articles get cited. And so there's now a wish to see more review articles. So it's just curious, you know, maybe from the people who didn't give a talk, you know, how useful do you think it would be to see the ideas that were discussed today, presented today, presented in a review article? Do you think that would be useful? Raise your hand. Okay, so there's a somewhat of a response there to that. It's like it could be done. I guess I'll get in touch with everyone and think about it. It's probably we're probably talking about a couple of pages per person. That would be enough, right? not a huge burden. Anyway, so.